Welcome back to another episode of Songs That Send Us. It's Shannon and Annie, your usual co-hosts. We didn't switch up.
Feel like we have like silly energy today. This will be interesting.
We do, and I love that for us. I hope our listeners love it too.
Which this song is not necessarily the best for silly energy.
No, it's not. But I feel like whenever too you speak, not you specifically, but the general you. You can hear when people are smiling in their voice, and you're going to hear that. They're going to hear that this whole episode, yeah, I'm sure. Because we're goofs, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
We're just in a silly, goofy mood.
Just a silly, goofy mood.
Yeah.
What? Give me the details. Give me some recs, Shannon. I'm in need of new music. What have you been listening to this week?
I'm always here to provide the new music for you, Miss Girl. So we're going to start with a couple, you know, just spice up your life. I literally, okay. For an entire day, well, obviously more than that, but for an entire day, I was just replaying I Am Woman. You know which one I'm talking about, right?
Yes, because it's like a popular TikTok song.
It got so popular on TikTok, yeah.
But it's so good. Every time I hear it, though, it makes me feel like empowered.
Yeah, same. I was having like a doubtful day, and you know, I was like, you know what, though? No, I Am Woman. I am woman. Whatever else or the lyrics are. I do. Yes. And the trend is really fun too, honestly. It's you play the song.
Yeah, a bunch of beautiful women on my timeline. I'm not complaining.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's called an FYP. That's an incorrect, app word. So I just
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. If you looked at how much time I'm on TikTok and then I just messed it up.
Mood, I know. Okay, here we go. I'm going to play a little to get us in a good mood.
Sometimes I forget we're recording this podcast and I'm just about to say something to you and then I'm like, oh wait, we're not just on FaceTime.
It's a good song. I feel like because of the energy she's creating, it's not necessarily the most upbeat or legendary lyrics, but the simplicity and like just the message kills me. I'm like, yeah, I am woman.
The feeling, yes, the feeling it evokes is A plus.
100%.
That just made me think, that made me want to add that song to a playlist I just started working on, which is currently titled The Condition of Being a Woman.
Oh, I love
it. Which brings, and some of it's about, so far, just jealous and stuff like that, but I was like, oh, I feel like this song would be
it
good
needs
at,
to be
for
on
it.
There.
But this segues to one of the songs I want to share to you, if we can go back and forth, because I just feel like it's totally on theme.
What is the vibe of your playlist, though?
We want to know. So far, it's only got 4 songs. You'll see in a second. I literally just have God Must Hate, Jealousy, Happy.
I love it.
But have you heard about this song, God Must Hate Me, Katie Turner?
I love the name, though.
Do you ever see someone and think, wow, God must hate me? 'Cause he spent so much time on them, and for me, he got lazy. Got to implement all his personality flaws. While their only flaw seems to be that they have known it all. Do you ever see someone and think, wow, God must hate me? I'll let him take accountability for everything that's wrong with me. Can't hold myself responsible, so I blame the metaphysical. If Jesus died for all our sins, he left one behind, the body I'm in. Same hands that made the moon and the stars, got carpal tunnel and forgot some parts. I don't know what I believe.
Just think about that, it's like, oh fuck.
Literally though, the way that song started, I did not expect it. I love that.
Yeah. It's like kind of funny. It is. Also, then it hits you and you're kind of like, ooh, this is kind of a relatable feeling of sometimes just hating the body you're in. Mm-hmm. And really how society has kind of made us do that. But
also, I don't know who she sounds like, but she sounds so much like someone and I haven't heard her voice before. So I'm trying to think of who it is. Do you know? Mm. Does she sound like anyone to you?
Let's see what her like related artists are. Maybe that'll like spring something in us.
Maybe.
I mean, you could say maybe kind of Lizzie McAlpine-y a little bit, where she's got, like, that clear voice, but I don't think that's a perfect
I don't think that's who I'm comparison. Thinking of also, yeah.
I actually think it was dumb that you suggested that, Annie, so...
No, just because I don't know her like you do, like your friends. I don't listen to her as much as you do, but I'm sure you're right. Okay, my turn again. I'm going to play a Brockhampton song.
I love your recent searches.
I know. Oh my god, stop. No. That's not I know. This is, I really just like the beginning of this song. Like, it's been caught in my head for the past couple of days for some reason. And okay, I always think it's so funny because I am weirdly into R&B and hip hop. And I feel like people are always surprised when I like tell them I like certain artists. But here we go.
Love that.
Love keeping people on their toes, honestly. Like, I genuinely do.
You look so different to me, it's like you barely even. Listen, you look so different to me, it's like you barely even know me. You was missing for me. I swear I'm tired of feeling lonely, like Phil Mobb's song, Trill Mob. Boy, keeping in my eight far too long, so far. Now catch the compensation, change the conversation. Dollars all I'm chasing, ain't talking money. Fuck is you saying? Non-comprehensive, money finish sentences. No, I ain't sensitive, nigga. Just highly offended.
It'll be okay, no matter what they say about us. It'll be okay, no matter what they say about us. I know that it'll be okay.
Just a little snippet of it.
I like it.
Yeah, and I think it's like a very good kind of taste of Brockhampton. If you're not familiar with them, I don't know if you consider yourself to be familiar with them, but
I just know a few of their songs.
Yeah, I think it's songs. I love how they are kind of edgy, but they also kind of are a boy band, and I think it's really cool.
Yeah Oh my gosh,
what are you gonna play for us now?
Okay, my other rack is, I think you know Carolyn Polachek.
Yes, maybe. So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings is my top 100.
Yeah, So Hot You're Feeling My Feelings.
Yeah.
She has a new single out. Ooh. Called Bunny is a Rider. Have you listened yet?
I haven't listened, but I've heard, it was on some like top.
Well, it's pretty fun. I like it.
Bunny is a rider, satellite can find her. No sympathy, ain't nothing for free. Bunny is a rider, satellite can find her. No sympathy, ain't nothing for free. Bunny is a rider, no sympathy, ain't nothing. Bunny is a rider, satellite can find her. Sympathy.
Very fun and kind of weird, but like her music, I think it's very unique. What genre do we consider her?
Let's see what Spotify says.
I don't know if I can trust Spotify genres, to be quite honest.
Oh my god, true. Electropop.
Oh, I could see that.
Which I think is actually probably pretty accurate.
That feels
to that.
Good, yeah. I feel like the indie kind of alternative group of like people claim her so hard, so I love that. Yeah
Oh my gosh, well, what a perfect time I guess to segue into White Winter Hymnal, unless there's anything else you wanted to share.
Take us in to Fleet Foxes. Give us a little lowdown on them for people who don't know them.
Yeah, so Fleet Foxes, today we're talking about White Winter Hymnal off of their, well, both their first EP and then their first album, which came out both in 2008. First the EP Sun Giant, then the Fleet Foxes album, which is just called Fleet Foxes, their first album. And they're just an American indie folk band from Seattle. Some of the members have changed, with the three core members have been the same since the beginning. And Robin Pecknold is like the kind of like lead vocalist, leader of the band.
Mm.
But yeah, so they're a group that kind of took off in 2008. They're from Seattle, and I think they were like one of those bands that was actually a MySpace band at first, and that's how they spread a lot of their sound, yeah,
wow.
And just kind of had connections to the music scene in Seattle. But most people, I feel like, probably know their Fleet Foxes album, but like also Helplessness Blues is a super popular album by them with some hits. Do you have any other favorite Fleet Foxes songs?
I actually do. Would we say this one is the most popular, or...?
One of them, I would probably say Helplessness Blues is also...
Oh,
Helplessness Blues from Helplessness Blues, I would
say. I don't actually know that one, to be quite... Well, I probably know it, but it's not,
I feel
top.
Like, yeah, if you heard it, you know it.
Yeah, it's not my top. I like...
Oh, actually, it's not on there. Mykonos is their second.
Yeah, I know that one's pretty popular.
White Winter Vandal is the top, yeah.
So maybe in your opinion, it's, like, your favorite, so you think, like, other
people... I think I just... Most people I know who know Fleet Foxes have listened to the Helplessness Blues album, so maybe that's my, like, skewed opinion on that.
Yeah. I really like... Blue Spotted Tail, which is off of Helplessness Blues.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
that one's really good, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm Not My Season, which is off of Shore, a more recent one. Actually, it was this year Shore came out.
I love that. I think one of my favorites is from Helplessness Blues, too, and it's The Shrine / An Argument. It's, like, 8 minutes long.
Oh, my God.
But something about it is so good. It, like, just has all these, like, tonal shifts, and I'm here for it.
Wow. That's interesting. You do like the long songs sometimes.
Sometimes I do. But yeah, so we're sorry, total sidetrack of that, but we're talking about White Winter Hymnal today, which is interesting, and we'll get into listening to a little bit of it, but to kind of preface it, I would say one of their main inspirations when they're working on the song, and they originally thought this was going to be the first song of the album, and then it didn't end up being that way, but they were inspired by Whistle While We Work from Snow White. Like, they wanted to kind of make a song that had that work song vibe of something you would just sing as you work, I guess. And so that's kind of how it lended itself to the words being so repetitive, but, like, the music shifting underneath it. And I guess I'll save the other quote until we start talking about the piece, but we can listen to a little bit of it. It's not very long.
It's not very long. Which is okay, because the chorus is, like, the main part of this. This one comes in at a whopping more than 133 million streams on Spotify.
Damn.
That's pretty good, I think.
I think so. It probably helps that it's only, like, a little bit over 2 minutes long.
It does.
So you can listen to it a lot.
Yeah.
I think there's some interesting stuff about how this song was recorded, too, because I think they were saying that originally they recorded a lot of these separately at home and had to put together the different tracks of them singing
and
stuff.
Do you know why?
I'm honestly not really that sure on the reasoning behind that. I should have done more research. But the lead vocalist has kind of said two different things about the meaning of this piece. Because in one interview, he's quoted as saying, this is the first song on the LP. It's lyrically fairly meaningless, I guess, but it's not really meant to mean something.
Hmm.
As an introduction to the record, we thought it would be nice to start it with a simple jam that's focused on singing. On the record, it starts with a tongue-in-cheek harmony thing that we hoped would make people laugh or something, but I think it just confuses them. This is my favorite song to play live. And then he says, though it is sometimes difficult to sing live because the lyrics are so vague. Weird how that works. But he said that in that interview.
Sorry, can we take a moment to the way you say vague?
Vague?
Anyways, I'm sorry. Please.
You say vague?
Vague.
How do you say it?
I say vague.
Vague.
You say like vague.
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 Yeah, that was that Midwest accent jumping
okay,
out.
Okay, I had to. Let's continue back.
No, oh my God, yeah.
No, that's really interesting that he said those things.
Yeah, and yet I think that's an older interview. In a newer interview, he did say something about how this piece kind of talks about the memory of your young friends, like in middle school and things like that, and having this that kind of child innocence, I guess, in a way, gone because these people you were once really close to and did all these things with go on to live these lives you could have never predicted and, are, you know, you separate and you don't even know them anymore, but you once were really connected to them. So very two different accounts. What does this mean? Maybe he's fucking with us. I don't know. Maybe, Robin Becknold.
Maybe he's like, let me make up that this song is about something later on.
Yeah.
But that is interesting.
So I don't know. But it does start with this kind of, like, the reverb is there throughout, and it's kind of cathedral. And so when I first listened to this song, I assumed Michael and things like that were going to be something that's associated with biblical meaning, because it kind of feels that way. But now listening to it, I'm like, I don't necessarily read it that way.
Who is Michael?
I think
Michael?
He could really easily... he's like an archangel.
Okay,
in the Bible.
That would check out, actually. Do we know if they're... Just flashback to our first episode. We're like, Jonah, do you believe in God?
That's so funny. I was in the car driving back to Wisconsin this weekend with my twin and his girlfriend. And he put the song Broken on in the car. And then he went, do you guys think this is about God?
I'm triggered.
And I was like, what?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh God.
Wow. Do we know if Fleet Foxes are pretty religious and other songs? I'm not quite sure. I remember.
Don't know. I think they do sometimes make biblical imagery, but I could be totally making that up because they just have a sound like
they have a sound. They do a sound like we'd imagine they would.
Yeah.
But no, that's a really good point. Great job there. I love the intro though, because it's just like, I do think the intro is the main section of the song to me that has the potential to be a quote-unquote work song, like the intention was, just because of the cyclical nature of it, the repetitiveness.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's cut off is really interesting. What are you following? I was following that, you know? So I like that.
That builds with more voices. And,
yes, exactly. And then it's like the whole song is just one super easy transition, very smooth, like... It doesn't feel like you're breaking for anything.
No, yeah.
Which I think is really important.
And this song is really easy to listen to on a loop, too.
Yeah. Partially because it's short, but also because it's so repetitive. You don't even realize almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously intentional. But yeah, I know, and I do really like how the tambourine was introduced. I think it's so cool.
Yeah, that's the first instrument in, I think. Yeah,
and it's not used enough.
Which is fun.
Especially
no,
because I think Fleet Foxes, a lot of people consider them to be kind of folky, I think.
Oh, yeah, so, I think they're classified as indie folk.
There you go, yeah. And so that makes sense. But I also think the tambourine is kind of most often used in folk songs.
Yeah, because you build the tambourine in, and then the guitar follows, and that's most of it for a little bit when you're going through that kind of chorus or repeated verse, whatever you want to classify it as, that first time. It's interesting. I know I've never stopped to think about the words of the song that much.
Yeah, no, me neither.
I've listened to the song for a long time. I've really enjoyed it. And to me, it does feel like a Christmassy or like wintery or holiday, like winter more than Christmas.
I'm not really for Christmas.
Just winter song to me. It does feel like a winter song. But I wasn't really even sure like why I had the basis for that.
I can see it.
Yeah. Maybe just because snow is mentioned. But, like, listening to this song now, it's, like, I don't even have a clear feeling of exactly what it's about.
No, yeah.
But to me, like, it's just, like, this, like, cloud. Like, it's kind of this, like, floating, echoey song that, to me, kind of feels like a memory. Like, looking back at a memory that you can't go back to and you can't remember who you were exactly in it, but you're just like looking at a memory and you're thinking of it kind of fondly, knowing obviously that it's a memory. I don't know. I'm just rambling.
No, but. And I think that's a really interesting the way you framed that, because I think you can kind of, when you say that, and then I think back to the first, the intro, the first verse, and I think the fact that it, you feel like it's a memory, it's not, you know, it's vivid, it's kind of cloudy, shadowy memory or whatever. I think the way that the first verse is done and it's just the repetition of the one phrase adds to that, because that's, you know, like you can't remember it, so it's just like the same thing, but it's a strong
feeling.
Yeah,
it's just like a flash of a memory.
Yeah.
You know, you only have this bit of it.
Yeah, and what was he following?
Everything.
Yeah.
You don't don't remember. And the idea of just like all swallowed in their coats.
Yeah.
It just feels young to me, young children swallowed in their coats with scars of red tied round their throats, protected from the cold, and like to keep their little heads from falling in the snow.
I love that line.
Which is so kind of metaphorical. Can't, if you're trying to be metaphorical about it, could really stand to be loss of innocence.
Yeah.
Like. Or, oh, maybe it's an allusion to, do you know the red ribbon story?
That rings a bell. Can you give a gist? The gist?
Carmen Maria Machado just did a short story. She has a collection that she plays on this folk story, but it's, I don't even know if folk story is the right term for it, but it's like a classic story of like basically a woman who always wore a ribbon around her neck, a red ribbon, and her husband was always like, take the ribbon off, and she didn't want to do it, and then one day he takes the ribbon off because he's like, oh, you don't love me, you're not showing me everything, why won't you tell me what this ribbon's for? He takes the ribbon off and her head falls off. I'm probably butchering this. This episode is derailed. I'm so sorry, guys.
That's so interesting. That's so lottery-esque. Wow.
Yeah. It's a great, and Carmen Maria Machado does a great short story. It's really interesting, kind of a take on that.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's referencing that. Maybe not.
When did that, come out around the time, the same time? Or before this?
Let me actually look this up.
I was just getting Red Riding Hood vibes throughout the chorus.
Oh, it's just like a classic scary story.
Oh, so then that makes sense. It could be. That could be, because then at the end of the chorus, and Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as strawberries in the summertime, which I think is kind of, you can assume Michael got hurt in some sense, and the red is blood, which I do adore that imagery of red and strawberries, but kind of nobody would assume strawberries are referencing kind of a dark.
No, and
thing.
Like red as strawberries in the summertime, like from to go from winter to summer. Which is, you always have to think about, like, the metaphorical meaning of seasons. And summer is that time of freedom and newness. And
yeah, especially for young people. You know, kids are always like, oh my gosh, summer, no school. Like, I can do whatever. Even the scarves of red tied around their throats. Like, that gave me, again, Red Riding Hood, the cape. And she was obviously innocent. And then the wolf took her and all of that. So I think you could make a parallel there.
Oh, yeah. I could see that for sure. Michael, that he referenced Michael as just a childhood friend he had.
Oh, okay.
And it's someone that, like, he wouldn't even, he's like, if I were to meet him now or see him now, I wouldn't even know what we would talk about. But he was a childhood friend I have memories of. So I think that's interesting, too, because it's like just a random name. It kind of also speaks to that loss of innocence of, like, just someone random in your life who's gone now. And Michael, you would fall and turn into the snow, that memory that's gone. I don't know.
I feel like we are projecting so much more meaning onto this than there actually is.
He's literally, we opened this with explaining a quote. These words mean nothing.
Yeah.
Here we are talking about.
But that's interesting. Well, because I feel like there is a little bit of meaning there. But maybe he just didn't assign it explicitly. But I feel like you can easily read into it.
Yeah, maybe just being coy, you know?
It's annoying. I don't like when people, artists, do that.
Wait, should we listen to the rest of the song?
So yeah, the rest of the song is definitely the same. But yeah, we can listen to the rest of the song.
But I like the way it ends.
Yeah.
The rest of the song is exactly what we've already listened to, but sure, we can listen to another minute of it.
Swallowed. scarves of red tied round their throats to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round and there you go. And Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as straw.
I was just going to say, how did I forget Tiger Mountain Peasant Song is one of my favorites. Oh, that's embarrassing.
That one is so good. I forget about that one too.
Yeah, what's wrong with us, fakes?
It's so good.
I do think that the album cover here is very, it just fits the vibe of their the album really well. So I just wanted to point out that, like, it gives me folk, like old-timey folk, which is, I feel like, very their whole aura.
I mean, obviously we've kind of already talked about lyrically what's going on.
Not
to some
a lot
extent.
Going on.
But I just love, I don't know, I can't remember now if it's in the first time we get that instrumental break with the ooze or the second time, but you have the drum so present, and it's kind of got this heartbeat rhythm to it, too, mm-hmm. that comes in, mm-hmm. and I love that. I love how the music's built on each other, and the layering of the voices is so good.
Yeah, I agree.
It's so pretty.
I do like that the end, too, is very soft.
Yeah, I think that's why I was like, we have to listen to that, mm-hmm. because I love the way the last chorus pulls back and it feels like you're fading from the dream and you're kind of stepping back. And it's just such a good line to end on. I mean, obviously not that there's many options for lines to end on, but I do just love the image of red as strawberries in the summertime as it's slowly fading out and then you're gone from the song.
Yeah, because one, I think Michael fell, so it's like slowly ending. And second, I feel like it adds to the kind of winter vibes, you know, this.
I just had a thought, and that us dissecting this song is the same as that TikTok account that reads one sentence of Twilight a day and analyzes it, and they will be like, Bella exited the car, and then they'll be like, this line signifies that today Bella exited the car, since the previous line indicated that she was in the car. And I feel like that's us analyzing the song.
Dying.
We're like, Michael, you would fall. We think that means Michael fell. Oh my God, guys. I hope you're enjoying this episode.
Tears in my eyes. But I don't know if you got this as well, but thank you for that laugh. I haven't laughed that hard in a minute. So I was thinking about this as, I was listening. I feel like the way, and Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow, the way that's said, it feels like Michael is being addressed in a way that's direct, or else that maybe the friend of Michael saw Michael falling and was like, I felt like bad vibes, Michael, like you would fall, like I'm predicting it, or like I saw it in a dream type of thing.
Oh my gosh, getting so meta. And I love that, though, thinking, because it is a weird way to phrase that. And Michael, you would fall and turn into this white snow.
Like, doesn't it feel serious?
It is addressing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels serious. Or almost, like someone telling, reminding Michael of the memory. Be like, no, Michael, you would fall. That's what happened. I don't know. Anyways. I just keep thinking about the TikTok.
I don't know. I can't unsee everything or unhear everything we're saying. Yikes. Okay, well. God.
Yeah, Michael love that fall. Song.
Hope he's okay.
We're dedicating this episode to Michael.
Yes, all the Michaels out there.
Just the Michael and the song.
I think that's all I've got. Do you have any other white winter hymnal songs?
Does this song feel like a winter song to you?
In a very non-traditional sense, I think so. When I listen to it, I'm not necessarily like, wow, it's cold and then you want to be cozy.
Yeah.
But it kind of gives me fall and winter vibes in the sense that I can
imagine
taking a walk and it's snowing kind of thing. Or it's really, really like crunchy fall weather.
Yes. Okay. Because that's how I feel too. It does feel cold to me a little bit. Maybe that because of that fogginess of the song. But enough of that. What are we listening to next week, Shannon?
I actually have no idea. but this is going to be our last episode for a hot minute.
So we're leaving you with this for your winter holiday season.
There we go.
Whatever you celebrate or don't celebrate, yeah. you can at least listen to this and feel the winter vibes.
Facts.
But we'll be gone for a little bit, and we'll leave you in suspense of what our next song will be. And in the meantime, follow us on our socials at Songs That Send Us on Twitter and Instagram. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, give us a rating and review if you'd be so kind. If you're on Spotify, make sure you're following so that you get notified when we have new episodes.
There you go.
But an extra special thank you for the holiday season. We love you guys.
Yes, thank you. We love anyone who listens, even for a minute. We love you.
And if you made it to the end of this episode,
amazing.
You're a trooper. God bless you.
Yeah.
But
Michael fell,
which we think means he did fall.
Wow. So groundbreaking stuff.
Love you and leave you guys.
And Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as strawberry.